Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
I've entitled this message, God Commands All Men to Repent. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to repent? I'm reading from Acts chapter 17 and beginning in verse 30. We're going to pick up in a message Paul had been bringing in Athens. And he says in verse 30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." That doesn't mean he winked his eye. It means he overlooked it. "But now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent." God now commands all men everywhere, and that includes me, and that includes you. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Some 70 years ago, a man came into the town where I was born. I'm not 70, I'm 61, so it happened before I was born, but I was a member of the church where this took place. A man came into town in Ashland, Kentucky, and he introduced the message like this. There's two lies going around in Ashland, Kentucky, and you can imagine the people were earnestly listening to see what they were. And he said, the first lie is that God loves everybody. And the second lie is that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everybody. Now, no one in this town had ever heard anything like that. But let me ask a question. Is it necessary to say something like that? Is this provocative? Is this antagonistic? Is this inflammatory? Why did this man come saying something like this? God doesn't love everybody, and Christ did not die for everybody. Now, the way I would answer that question is, what does the Scripture teach? Can you verify from the Scriptures that God loves all men everywhere without exception? Well, we know he said himself, "I hate Esau. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." That's God speaking. Psalm 5:5 says, "Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." So you can't verify that God loves all men from the Scripture. The Scripture doesn't teach that. Christ said, "I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And there should be one fold and one shepherd." Christ died for the sheep. He did not die for goats. The Lord said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Paul said, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for it," the church. Hebrews 10:14 says, "He by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Christ's death was for the elect. Now, obviously, the Bible does not teach that God loves all men the same, and that Christ died for all men the same. And really, if you teach that God loves all men the same and that Christ died for all men the same, you're left with the message of salvation by works. It's not the love of God, it's not the death of Christ, it's what you do that makes the difference between you and somebody else. If Peter is in heaven and Judas is in hell, the difference was what Peter did and Judas did not do, if Christ died for them both and if God loved them both the same. But that is not supported from the Scripture. If you teach that God loves all men the same and Christ died for all men the same, you're forced to preach a message of salvation conditioned upon what man does. Now, that being said, I can tell you something that all men everywhere are commanded to do. You and I are not commanded to figure out whether or not we're one of the elect, or if Christ did indeed die for us, or if God the Holy Spirit has given us life. Now, if we're saved, all those things are true of us. God does love us, always has. Christ did die for us. God the Holy Spirit gave us life. But we're not called upon to figure out that, but we are called upon and commanded to repent. God commands all men everywhere, and that includes me and you, to repent. At the opening of Christ's public ministry, he began with these words, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." After his resurrection, just before his ascension, he gave the disciples these instructions to preach repentance and the remission of sins in my name. When Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, we read in verse 36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent." That's what you're to do. Repent. "And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When the writer to the Hebrews is giving the six foundational truths that every believer must be grounded in, the first thing he mentions is repentance from dead works. The Lord said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, what is repentance? I want to know what the Bible teaches with regard to this. And I want to be somebody who repents. So what is repentance? What does it mean to repent? Now, most people think it's a change in behavior. If you repent, you change in your behavior. Now, that is not what the word means. Repentance does not mean a change in behavior. Now, if your behavior is bad, you ought to change. You know that, and I know that. If my behavior is bad, I ought to stop behaving myself that way. And as far as that goes, I would never sin again. I would never sin again. I would be the embodiment of the Beatitudes. I would be poor in spirit, mourn, be meek before God, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker, to be persecuted for righteousness. Listen to this. If you gave me, or if God gave me, a blank check and said, "Now, it's okay for you to commit this sin or these sins, you'll still be saved," would you want to do it? I wouldn't. No, if I was given a blank check to sin, I wouldn't want to use that to sin. A believer doesn't want to sin. "These things write I unto you that you sin not." But let me say this. Repentance is not a change in behavior. Now, there are fruits of repentance and works of repentance. I realize that. But repentance is a change of mind. Let me repeat that. That's what the word means. It's made of two words which mean a change of mind. Now, listen to this definition of repentance that I got out of the Blue Letter Bible. It's something I use quite a bit. And I was looking at the Greek definition of repentance, and it said this: repentance is a change of mind. And the definer would have been better off if he would have just stopped there. But listen to what he says. And this is what most people believe about repentance. Please listen carefully. Repentance is a change of mind that involves a turning with contrition from sin to God. The repentant sinner is in the proper condition to accept the divine forgiveness. Now, I want to say, what do you mean by turning from sin? Does that mean you don't sin anymore? You've turned to God and you've stopped sinning? You're not being honest if you say that is your experience. You still sin. So if you call repentance a turning from sin to God, you've not repented. And then he says it's showing a proper contrition that makes you able to accept the divine forgiveness. Now, where is this language coming from, accepting forgiveness? If you sin against me, let's say you kill a loved one, and if I say, I forgive you, and you say, well, I accept your forgiveness, you know, I'm going to be very offended. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to say, I withdraw my forgiveness. It doesn't work that way. You don't accept forgiveness. That kind of language is so contrary to even common sense. And yet people call this repentance. It's turning from your sins. You've repented of your sins, which, by the way, is a phrase not found in the Scriptures. Preachers use it all the time, but you won't find that phrase in the Scripture. Repent of your sins. Not once. Repentance is a turning from your sins in contrition so you can accept the divine forgiveness. Now, let's look at what the Bible says about repentance. It means change your mind. A change of mind. Paul said in verse 20 of Acts chapter 20, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, repentance is primarily a change of mind regarding God. Don't miss that. Repentance is a change of mind regarding God. And that's actually how it's used in our text, too. He says, the times of this ignorance God has winked at, these false notions and thoughts you've had of God, these false ideas, these idols, these images that you've made of God that is less than the living God, that is a man-made God, a man-like God, these false ideas you've had of God that were all wrong. He says the times of this ignorance of God, God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. You know, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. Repent of these low thoughts, these human-like thoughts you've had of God. He said in Psalm 50, verse 17, you thought I was altogether such a one as yourself. I think of what Luther said to Erasmus. Erasmus, your God is too human. Now, I could say that with regard to the God that's preached by most preachers in this day. He's way too human. Whereas the God of the Bible said, who is like unto me? Nobody and no thing. God is other. There's no one you can compare him to. Men's thoughts of God are too low. Their thoughts of themselves are too high. And their thoughts of salvation are altogether wrong. Repent. Listen, we have God waiting on men instead of men waiting on God. Repent of that. We have men thinking salvation is dependent upon man's will and not on God's will. Repent of that. We have men seeing God's salvation as an offer and not a gift. Repent of that. We see men thinking of salvation as an opportunity for them to take and not an accomplishment that Christ achieved. Salvation is seen as a reformation of character rather than a creative work of God. We have men giving God their hearts instead of God giving them new hearts. That's what David asked for. Create in me a clean heart. Somebody says, let God in, give him your heart. What would he want with that filthy thing? He'll give you a new heart if you ask him. That's what David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. We have men saying, do and live. Whereas the message of the Bible is live and do. It's a completed salvation. Listen to this. I want to ask you a few questions. Is salvation by choice or by chance? Now, just about everybody would say, well, it's certainly not by chance, it's by choice. Whose choice? Man's or God's? The Lord said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Are sinners dead in sins, according to the Scriptures? Do they retain some ability to cooperate with God in salvation when helped by the Holy Spirit? But the Scripture says they're dead in sins, unable to do anything to save themselves. And if you take that away, you make salvation by works. The death of Christ, was it for man or for God? Did Christ die and bring his death to you up for you to accept or reject? Or was it for God, so God could be just and justify somebody like you? That the blood of Christ wasn't shed for men. It was shed for God, so God could do something for us. Did the death of Christ make salvation a possibility, or did it save? When he said it is finished, was it really finished? Was salvation accomplished? Is the Bible God's word or man's word? It can't be both. Is it fully inspired? It's either fully inspired or it's not inspired at all. God is either absolutely sovereign or he's not sovereign at all. Men are either dead in sins, totally dependent upon God to do something for them, or they retain some kind of ability. Election, it's either conditional or unconditional. It's either conditioned upon God looking through the telescope of time and seeing your choice of him, and then he chooses you in return, which is foolishness, or it's unconditional. God's unconditional choice of his people before time began. Christ's death, it either saved or it didn't. God's grace, it either saves or it doesn't. It's either irresistible or invincible, or it can be resisted. God's people are either preserved and cannot fall away, or they can fall away. And let me tell you this, if you can fall away and be damned after once being saved, that means it's up to you to keep yourself, your own works. Men have it wrong. Too low thoughts of God and too high thoughts of themselves. Now, whatever repentance is, it's like faith, the gift of God. Let me read you some scriptures. This is repentance not to be repented of. Listen to this scripture. Him hath God exalted as a prince and a savior for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. God also hath to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. You see, this thing of repentance is not something a natural man can do. It's the gift of God. Only those who are born of God exercise this thing of repentance, this change of mind, where you take sides with God against yourself. This is the work of God. Listen to what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah says, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. For thou art the Lord my God. After I was turned, I repented. When? After I was turned, I repented. No natural man without the Spirit of God, without God turning him, will repent. Now, John the Baptist spoke of fruit, meat for repentance. And Paul spake of works, meat for repentance. There's fruit and there are works that always accompany repentance. Repentance is not merely academic. It's a change of mind that comes from a change of masters. And it wasn't you that did the master changing. God did something for you. You now have a new master. That's where that change of mind comes from. a change of mind that comes from a new master. And with that, there will be new motives that weren't there before, the glory of God, and there will be a change in manners. This thing of repentance is not just academic, having your opinions changed about something. There are always fruits with repentance. Now, repentance is a change of mind with regard to God. It's a change of mind with regard to myself. And it's a change of mind with regard to salvation. Now, please listen carefully as we consider this thing of repentance. Repentance comes, first of all, from seeing who God is. Job put it this way in Job chapter 42, "I've heard of thee with the hearing of the ears, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes." Now, where did Job's repentance come from? From seeing the Lord. Same with Isaiah. Isaiah said, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord." And what did he say as a result? "Then said I, woe is me, I'm undone." Now, this thing of repentance comes from finding out the true character of God. Now, I used to believe, under the right circumstances, I could please God. Now, a God that I could please, not much to him. I repent of that. I used to believe God was too holy, too strict. I repent of that. I used to be terrified by God's sovereignty. I saw no safety in it because I had no control. I repent of that. I love the God who is sovereign. I used to sit in judgment on God. I used to think in my own heart, well, it's not fair for him to elect some and pass by others. That's not giving everybody an equal chance. It's not fair for Jesus Christ just to die for the elect and not everybody. That's not giving everybody an equal chance. What I was saying by that is, I'm more fair than God. I'm more holy than God. I'm more just than God. And I sit in judgment on God and cast my judgment upon what he does. I repent of that. I realize that there's no salvation apart from this. That this isn't keeping people from being saved. It's saving people who would have been damned. I repent of these harsh, judgmental thoughts of God. I repent of that one time thinking, if all I had was Christ, that's not enough, that scares me. Now I don't want to be found anywhere else but in Christ. There's a repentance toward God. Repentance is a change of mind with regard to yourself. Now, a key scripture to understand what this means is what the writer to the Hebrews called two times in the book of Hebrews, repentance from dead works. Now, what does that mean? Repentance from dead works. It means every work that I performed before God gave me life was a dead work, a work of one dead in sins. It was a work of iniquity. There's not one religious thing that I did before God saved me that wasn't anything more than filthy rags. That is what Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You see, when you repent of dead works, you repent of all your works of religion. You see that they were no good, that they couldn't save you, that they couldn't contribute to your salvation in any way. And the only way you can be saved is for him to save you, for him to do for you what you cannot do from yourself. And you repent of having any higher view of yourself than that. You find out when you repent with regard to yourself, you go farther than believing the doctrine of total depravity. You believe you are totally depraved. You believe, when you repent concerning yourself, you believe that all you are is sin. You believe that everything you do is sin. You believe that you cannot not sin. and you believe that your sin is all your fault, you can't blame your mommy and daddy, you can't blame your circumstances, you can't blame the sovereignty of God. Your sin is all your fault. You stand before God guilty as charged. And you're unable to look down your nose at anybody for anything. You can't sit in judgment on anybody for anything. And if you really believe you're a sinner, you know that you have no claims on God. If He passes you by and doesn't give you mercy, just and holy is His name. You really believe that when you have repentance with regard to yourself. You used to think that there were, if you had the circumstances right, you could turn things around and you could, and you'd always promise yourself you would. Tomorrow I'll be better. Tomorrow I'll repent. I won't be this way tomorrow. But it never changes. You find out when you repent with regard to yourself, in and of yourself, you're nothing but sin. And repentance is a change of mind with regard to salvation. I used to think there's something I can do to make myself savable. In the right circumstance, I can be saved. I don't believe that way anymore. I repent of that foolishness. I used to see no safety in trusting Christ alone. I needed something else. I repent of that. I see no safety anywhere else. I used to dislike the doctrines of God's discriminating grace, election, and effectual atonement for the elect, and the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit for those the Father elected and Christ died for. I used to dislike that. I don't anymore. I love this because I see that this is the only way I can be saved, is if God does something for me. And I repent of any hope of self-salvation. Now, what is the one evidence that you've repented? The one evidence of true and genuine repentance is faith in Christ. You look to Him alone. Now, wherever you have repentance, you have faith in Christ. And the evidence that a man has truly repented before God is he looks to Christ alone for all of his salvation and claims no past, present, nor future merit. All I have is Jesus Christ. But He's all I want, and He is all I need. If a man has truly repented, he is looking to Christ alone. Paul called it in Acts chapter 20, verse 21, repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant us all repentance. Call the church, write or email, and we'll send you a copy of this message. This is Todd Neipert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.neipert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.